With you. You can turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. This church has had for a lot of years the major focus of studying the Word of God. Learning what God says and obeying it is the calling of every Christian. But the Bible is a unique book that makes the claim for itself and gives sufficient proof that it is inspired by God. God's prophets spoke and wrote of events and people hundreds of years before those things were fulfilled. Archaeology has confirmed the accuracy of places and events described in the Bible. Millions have found salvation, hope, and direction for their lives through the words of the Scriptures. So we believe that the Bible is truly the Word of God. I'd like to read in Luke chapter 1 through verse 4 as we begin this morning. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And Father, we would always desire that we know the certainty from the Scriptures of what we've been taught. And we pray that this morning would be used by you in each of our lives. Whether we come with open hearts, skeptical hearts, questioning hearts, our minds, we pray, would be engaged with your word today. By your Spirit, speak to each of us in the language we understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke is a little bit different. What's been the theme of the last few weeks? If you were to say, this is the main point that Pastor Brian has spoken about the last two or three weeks, what would it be? I hope you agree that it's talking about the Word of God is inspired by God, it's God-breathed, and we can have confidence in it. The Word of God is God-breathed. The Bible is God-breathed, and we can have confidence in it. Well, Luke is a little bit different from other books that we study. And so I'd like for us to think about the introduction. Understand a little bit about Luke, the man. He was a doctor. He was probably, and I say probably because there are those that you might read that say that he was probably a proselyte, a Gentile that became part of the Jewish nation. But he was probably a Gentile, and he was trained as a physician. Luke presents Jesus Christ then as the compassionate Son of God, who came to live among sinners, love them, help them, and die for them. So in the gospel, the account that Dr. Luke wrote, in this gospel, you meet individuals as well as crowds, women and children as well as men, poor people as well as rich people, and sinners along with saints. It's a book with a message for everybody, because Luke's emphasis is on the universality of Jesus Christ and his salvation. He wrote with the mind of a careful historian and with the heart of a loving physician. Boy, I wish I had written that. That sounds pretty good. But I got it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. And but that pretty much puts Luke in the Gospel of Luke in a clear picture. But I had a question. When I was a young man, a young person, and I went up to Bible school. Well, first of all, I graduated from high school, and I went to college in Portland. I went to a Christian college, and we had a Bible class. Now, being raised in a Christian family, being raised in the church, I had kind of a smug attitude. You know, about the time you graduate from high school, you do know everything. And so I had that kind of an attitude when I went to the Bible college or the Christian college. And we had a Bible class, and the very first day we were given a test. You know, if you got more than 50%, you were doing pretty good, and I barely made the cut. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And I didn't last terribly long at that college. I went to work after the first semester. And at 20 years old, I went to Bible Institute, Bible College. And I still had that attitude that I know quite a bit about the Bible. But there's one thing that caught my attention, and it kind of threw me. And that was the Gospel of Luke. Because I read it through the Old Testament, and God spoke to the prophets, and the prophets could say, "Thus saith the Lord," or "the Word of God." The Word came to a prophet, and he spoke it. The Word was just a revelation to this prophet. What did we read in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke? I took on the responsibility, Luke says, to write an account of the life of Jesus. Now, Luke has some problems because he was not a disciple of Jesus that had walked with Jesus. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't in Judea. He wasn't in the Galilee region listening to Jesus. He was out there in the Gentile world in Troas. And he didn't have that experience with Jesus. And he's going to write an account of the life of Jesus. He never indicates that he was a Jewish proselyte. He wasn't one that came under the teaching of the rabbis. He wasn't one of these that could claim, "I know the law, I know all these things that belong to the Jewish religion." He wasn't part of that. He was not present at the events that are recorded in his gospel. He wasn't there. He wasn't in Galilee when Jesus was preaching. He wasn't in the boat when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee and the storm came up. He wasn't there. He wasn't there when Jesus came out of the tomb, was resurrected. He wasn't there. He was, however, a believer and an associate of the Apostle Paul. One of the things that's interesting to read as we read through the New Testament and come through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20, something new arrives in our study of the Scriptures. That Luke is writing, he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And at chapter 20, something changes in his narration, and he says, "We." Oh, well, Luke now is accompanying Paul. He is experiencing these things that he's writing about in Paul's experience of ministry, and he got on a ship with him. And now that Luke accompanied him for some of the the ministry of Paul. "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of things that have been fulfilled among us." And he's writing to most excellent Theophilus. Theophilus, his name means lover of God. Theos, the Greek, God. and phileo, from which Phyllis was taken, Theophilus, a lover or friend of God. And when he speaks of him as most excellent Theophilus, just to get a picture of how Luke is writing and his association with people, that Theophilus was probably a Roman official of some type. When Paul writes, or Luke writes about Paul's interactions with the governors when he was arrested, and Festus and Felix, oh, most excellent Felix. That's a term that he used for those that were in positions of authority. But Luke had a humbling task. He had a task of, he was to write a holy history with complete accuracy. Can you imagine that? It's given to him as a responsibility to write about things when he wasn't present with complete accuracy. Put yourself in that position. I want you to write about what's going on in Boise this weekend, but you're here. How are you going to write about things that you weren't present to see? Luke had that responsibility, and it's been years now that he's supposed to have this careful investigation. And that's what he said. Therefore, in verse 3, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. So how did he do that? Well, there were people alive that did go through those experiences. And so when he says that he's going to investigate and write an orderly account, he had to interview people that were there and were able to report what happened. But he also had to report what hardly anybody would know. When we read it, but how could Luke write about, well, in verse 5, in the time of King Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, and they were old. And so when he's writing about what Zechariah and Elizabeth went through, I don't think they were still around when Luke was doing his research. They were old when they had the promise of a baby boy that they named John. And John the Baptist had had ministry when he was 30 years old. And on, how did they know that Zechariah met an angel in the temple? How did they know that? There was a lady, a young lady, that went up and visited her pregnant relative whose name was Mary. And in interviewing Mary, Mary could speak of things that Elizabeth and Zechariah told her. You're going to have a baby, and Elizabeth said, when you came in and you greeted me, I greeted you, my baby that was getting really close to delivery leaped in my womb, excited to see you, hear your voice. Huh. How did this come about? Elizabeth, you're past childbearing age. What happened? This is really exciting. We're both going to have babies. And yours is a miracle. Mine is a super miracle. But how did this happen? And giving an accurate account, had an accurate witness, someone who could speak authoritatively and say, this is truly what happened. And so in interviewing Mary, I'm doing a little bit of speculation because the Bible doesn't really say how he gathered all this information. But what he's saying is that I am getting it from other people, people that witnessed these events, people that lived through these events, and there's something else going on. Not all of the information is simply drawing on memory. Because the Bible tells us of Jesus' words before he was crucified, and he said, many more things I have to tell you, but you can't bear that now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you in all the truth. So Mary, as she was perhaps speaking, and Luke is there with his tablet, and he's writing down what she says, and the Holy Spirit is bringing back to Mary's mind events that even Mary did not know about. I was wondering, you've read the Magnificat that Mary said when she met Elizabeth? Mary's song in Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And on she goes for quite a while. She recites this. How did she remember that? From a teenage girl, going to have a baby, till Luke interviews her after the ascension of Christ. How did she remember every item in what she had said before? The Holy Spirit guided her mind, brought back to her memory, guided her thoughts, and she related those to Luke, who wrote them down. I jotted down a little bit from Barnes' notes on the New Testament. And he says, speaking of Luke's inspiration, we see the nature of Luke's inspiration. It was consistent with his using his natural faculties or his own powers of mind in investigating the truth. God, by his Holy Spirit, presided over his faculties, directed them, and kept him from error. All scripture, we've said this enough, you might be able to say it with me. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That little three-letter word, all scripture, includes this Gospel of Luke. How he gathered his material, I'm still like that young person that got a little bit, how did this happen? When I ran into it in Bible school. How could this be? God still directed Luke, and he directed those that Luke interviewed to be accurate, to be true, to be beyond question. But Luke also wrote, as he was led by the God Spirit, about events in which he was involved. And so in Acts chapter 20, Luke joined Paul on his journeys and had first-hand account. But what he wrote from his own experience isn't any more inspired than what he wrote from others giving him information. and gathering that material. Luke wrote and had a theme in mind. We talked about this last week of the different gospels. There's four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Next week, we're going to look into John, because John presents Jesus as the Son of God. Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man in his humanity. Mark presents Jesus. I know I'm messing with you. We're going backwards. Mark presents Jesus as a servant, burden bearer, and Matthew presents Jesus as king. And so they write as editors, not as reporters, not every event, not every instance of Jesus' life, but they wrote as editors with a specific purpose in mind. And Luke wrote presenting Jesus in his humanity as the Son of Man. Well, what was his aim as he presented Jesus as the Son of Man? I think there was something that grew in Luke as he was associated with the Apostle Paul. God put it there, but I think it developed as he was with the Apostle Paul, who we read about Paul's burden that he carried, and he said he went through a lot of trials, but something that was really a weight and a burden on the Apostle Paul's heart was his care for the churches. What would they talk about when they're sitting on a boat and there's no place to go? They didn't have restaurants, probably, to sit and have coffee. So what did they do? They talked, undoubtedly. And Paul shared his burden with Dr. Luke. And Luke picked up on that. And Luke had that same burden then as the Apostle Paul. So Paul called him a fellow worker and a dear friend, Dr. Luke. We find that Luke had a burden to share this good news. And with his training and experience, he shared his interest in two babies' stories. That's what we find in Luke chapter 1 and in chapter 2. The birth of John the Baptist. I didn't know that, but Zechariah and Elizabeth had a last name. They were Baptists. So John the Baptist was part of that family. Or as some translations, John the Baptizer. But these stories, John the Baptist and Jesus had unusual births, divine purposes, and John the Baptist boldly broadcast God's message for people to repent. And so when we have the account of John the Baptist, Zechariah shared the hope of Israel, because his son was going to be the one to introduce the Messiah. And I'd like for you to catch something here in Zechariah's song. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heavens to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. What was Zechariah looking forward to? Why did he think that he had a miraculous son who was to deliver? He was to be the forerunner of the one who would deliver from their enemies. Zechariah was given a tremendous gift in having a baby in their old age. He didn't know what God's plan for the ages was, did he? He knew that someday that Jesus would deliver his people from their sins. His name, Jesus, he will deliver his people from their sins. But as a nation, from their enemies, that's still future. Delivering the Israel nation from their enemies, still future. But John did have that privilege of declaring Jesus, behold, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus connected with people of every class and changed their lives. He came as a man. He came in his humanity to identify with us. So a key verse as we read through the Gospel of Luke is in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. We don't take that out of context. The rest of the Bible agrees with that. And Luke agrees with the writer of Hebrews regarding the humanity of Jesus. And I'd like for us to read these in unison. If you would read with me, we have two passages and four slides. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, read it with me. Because he was, when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How important is it for us to know that Jesus came as a man? In his humanity, he identified with us. He became a high priest that understands us, who intercedes for us. He is Savior. He is also the one who is standing in heaven on our behalf and interceding for us. He is also the one that provides mercy and grace at the throne of grace. I pray that each of us has such a close association with the Word of God that we, like Dr. Luke, will develop a burden for people to know the Lord Jesus, sharing the gospel through words and deeds. We'll glorify God, and he will bring eternal results through our faithful service. We've had several mentions of that kind of goal this morning with the Alpha program and the outreach and the desire of the elders, along with the trustees too on the board, that the church develop and be excited about the ministry of evangelism. Well, Luke was excited about that. Jesus was excited about that and died for our sins, that we might have this one who says, he suffered when he was tempted. He is able also to help those who are being tempted. He's there for you. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. We can know you through your word. We can be confident that you've moved men along to write the scriptures. All the way from the beginning to the end, we have your word regarding the ages. We thank you for the salvation that we've experienced in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again, just like the scriptures say. Lord, we come to you now in our times of need. We come to you in our times of joy, rejoicing, and we come to you on behalf of those that are yet to be reached. May you give us the burden, as was shared by the patriarchs, the disciples, the board. Give us that burden to reach souls for Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.